Good morning.
Morning.
I'm glad you made room in your hearts to come to church today, despite the snow. We're continuing our series is talking about making room for Jesus. And today we're talking about, you know, making room for compassion. So you've noticed our installation over here. It's like a garage. It's kind of like the place where we put stuff that we don't know what to do with. It's not a very inspiring place. A lot of times it's a place that's kind of dark and dusty and maybe smelly a bit. And sometimes maybe this is the way our hearts feel, isn't it? But we're believing, and during this time of Advent, we open more and more of the doors of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that the joy, the peace, the love, and the hope flow out to make our hearts beautiful and restore us into that place of rightness with God. Today we're reading from Luke again, chapter 1. A few weeks ago we talked about Zechariah. We're going to talk about him again today, but this time more about his prophecy that talks about the compassion of God. It's an extraordinary prophecy that he gives. So if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, it's on 57 through 58, page number 830 in your pew Bibles. We'll be reading verses 5 through 17. And then jumping to 67 through 79. So reading from Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 5. In the time of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord." If I cough into this mic, it'll clear it up. "He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." Now, verse 16 and 17, these are the verses we want to focus on in the first part. "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children." Let me say that again. To turn their hearts, the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. May the Lord make us ready and turn our hearts today. Now look with me down to verse 67. This is after then, many months went by, more than 9 months. John the Baptist was born, and Zechariah, who couldn't speak during that whole time, his tongue was loosened. He took a tablet and he wrote down, "His name is John," because they wanted to call him something else. Wanted to name him Zechariah or after him or someone else. And then his tongue was loosened, and he burst out, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he prophesied. So verse 68, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he said this through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. I want to read this again, verse 78. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Lord God, we pray, let us know today your tender mercy. Turn our hearts, Lord, to you. Fill us with your spirit, we pray, in the power and spirit of Elijah. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So you've heard the expression. You talk about someone who is doing a task, you say, yeah, his heart just wasn't in it. And sometimes we feel that way. Like my heart's not really engaged with what I'm doing. Sometimes we go through the motions. We do what we should do, or we try to anyway. But when our heart's not in it, our feet drag, and we're more prone to wander, to get off course. Today we want to talk about our hearts and how God wants to turn our hearts to him. Again, our theme is making room for compassion, making room for the tender mercy of God to fill us. You know, if you were to describe God, what is he like? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Who would give me an answer? Go ahead and just speak it out. Slow to anger. Great. What else would you say? Compassionate. What else? Love. Light. A few more. Mercy. These are the important attributes of God. As I was researching for the sermon, I found many quotes that said the most important attribute of God is his mercy, his compassion, his tender mercy to us, that God delights in showing his mercy and pouring out his compassion upon sinful people that do not deserve it. God is merciful and more merciful than we can possibly imagine. It goes beyond anything that we can conceive of how great is his mercy. You know, there's no way you can talk about who God is, what God is like, and not refer to the mercy of God. You can't talk about how God relates with people and how God responds to situations and not say something about the mercy of God. You know, we're separated by him, and it's only by his mercy, his love, and his grace that we're brought into relationship with him. Mercy is a vital part of God's character. It's who God is. Merciful, in fact, we could say it's his name. It says in 2 Corinthians 1-3, God is called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is the Father of mercies. I love reading the Psalms, a place where he talks about his compassion. For instance, in Psalm 116, verse 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. Just imagine that. A fullness that's just waiting to be poured out on us. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. Now let's just look at that word all there. It isn't just a certain group of people or people who've met God's requirements. God's compassion is for all people, and he pours it out for anyone who turns to him. In Exodus 34:6, it says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. I love that word, abounding. What does that bring to your mind? Brings to my mind someone like galloping across the stage. I'm not going to do that. But imagine it. God is abounding. He's pouring out, looking, where can I pour out my compassion more and more and more? This is his great joy. This is why he sent Jesus into the world, to bring us forgiveness and to pour out his compassion. So in this passage, in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah prophesies about God's tender mercy. Because of his tender mercy, God sent Jesus into this world. First, he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. And I really want us to see ourselves as John the Baptist today, that we're called to prepare the way for Jesus. We're called to make room for him in our lives, and then we're called to prepare the way for him in the lives of others and in our world, in our families, in this church. We're called to prepare the way of the Lord. So let's talk about this word tender. I had never noticed this morning before I started preparing this sermon. When I looked up the Greek words for this passage, the word for tender is a word that says, sounds something like this, spilachion. What it means is bowels or intestines, the heart, liver, or lungs. It was a place that was considered the place of violent passions, such as anger, love. It's a passionate word that we don't have anything, I think, in our language that really says it. So in Greek culture, the bowels were regarded as a seat of the more violent passions, such as anger and love, but the Hebrews as a seat of tender affections, especially kindness, benevolence, and compassion. The term spalakshon comes from the Greek word splakna, which means the internal organs. And these all organs were seen as the center of emotions and feelings in ancient cultures. And for the authors in the Greek New Testament, splachnon was associated with one's most innermost being, where compassion and mercy resides. When he reads in the letters of Paul, when he describes how he felt for the churches who he's writing to, he also often uses this word by itself, just saying, my heart is filled with splachnon. Or I feel for you so deeply down in the depths of my guts. That's how deeply my love goes for you. It helps us get an idea here of what the writer here and what Zechariah's prophecy is portraying about the mercy of God. That it is fierce and it is passionate. And he's doing what needs to be done, even sending his son to die on the cross for you because of the depth of his commitment, the depth of his mercy. This phrase emphasizes the important connection between emotion and action. When it's applied in everyday lives, then we are urged to develop sensitivity to the needs and pains of those around us. This could be simple acts of kindness to deep involvement of social justice issues. In other words, that we're moved deeply for the things of God, and we cannot hold back. This is the love that God demonstrated for us. And he wants to pour it out upon his mercy upon a people then who will receive him. And let that mercy also go into the depths of our guts until we're moved to action. Let's go on then. I want to turn back then to verse 17, talking about John the Baptist when the angel was speaking to Zechariah in the temple. He said, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So I want to talk about how our hearts can turn. That's a phrase that's used here, to turn the hearts of the people. So in other words, how are our hearts become sensitive? How do our hearts become open to the work of the Lord that he wants to do? You know, I don't know about you, but quite often, I'm not feeling the depth of God's mercy or his love in the depths of my guts. I'm not anywhere close to it. Sometimes I'm just, going through the motions. And sometimes I open my Bible, and I don't feel that passion. So what do we do? In these circumstances, when we don't feel anything, what do we do when there's just, look inside, there's just dryness? How can we gain a heart of compassion to replace a heart that maybe has turned to stone, to make our heart, let it become a heart of flesh? Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." There are things that get in the way of this. There's greed. There's self-obsession, which is kind of the law of this world, the current trend. There's bitterness and envy and unforgiveness. There's also ease and entertainment. I was listening to a podcast this week, and the theologian N.T. Wright, probably one of the greatest thinkers of our generation, he's talking about spiritual warfare, saying there is a spiritual, there are temptations out there, there are like demonic forces that are trying to woo us away in the small things to distract us from what's really important into the paths of folly and unfruitfulness of the gospel. Trying to get us to waste our time, to waste our lives, to lure us away of doing something deep down that we know really isn't advancing the wisdom of God. This just really hit me. Is that we're waiting for those big temptations to come, but he's saying it's much more subtle, and we need to be on guard. We need to watch our daily activities, our thought life, because the enemy is there to distract us and to make our hearts become dull and hardened, or just lack of any feeling at all. Why is it then that our hearts get to this state? We don't take action and not we're responding to the heart of God. I came across this verse this week in Luke 7:47, when there's a woman who came and she cried over the feet of Jesus and wet his feet with his tears. And he said to his disciples and those that were there, "I tell you, though her sins are many, they've been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven loves little." I realize so often we don't fully aware of the depth of our own sin. We don't see how far we've strayed. What is the real condition of our lives? Have we've forgotten about the miracle, the vastness, the incredible aspect of forgiveness, that we've been saved from death, we've been redeemed, and we are brought into the presence of the Father. There's no greater miracle than this. Once I was in under a teaching, I was in my mid-20s, and my heart felt very hard. I didn't feel much passion for much right then. And I heard someone say, "Ask God to reveal to you his grief over your sin." Because you know what? I'd lived a pretty good life. I hadn't done much. I hadn't strayed too far. But when I prayed that prayer, I got alone. I said, "Okay, God, I ask that you reveal to me your grief over my sin." It came. And I saw the seriousness of sin in my life. My need for deeper repentance. I would challenge you, ask God to show you his grief over your sin. For others, you're saying, "I'm fully aware of how sinful I am." But the problem is, we're not fully aware of how great God's tender mercy is. We need to both be aware of what a sinner I am, of how far we've strayed, of our lives, what bad condition they may be in, at the same time, fully aware of how great is God's tender mercy to us. And that when we come before him, he is ready to forgive and to cleanse completely and receive us fully into his presence. Wow. I can't even wrap my mind around this. But God's mercy is far more than we can ever imagine. We can approach him without dread or fear, like it says in this passage, that we can worship God without fear because the condemnation and the shame has been taken away. You know, one thing I was praying this week was just saying, God, thank you for how much you love me. Not just saying, Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you, Lord, for how much you love me. Sometimes it's hard to get those words out of our mouth. There's something inside that resists because we don't know how great is his love and his compassion. It says in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God wants to do surgery on our hearts. You know, this morning we sang this song, my heart needs a surgeon, and therefore I run to the Father. This is something that we can do, is say, God, just confess where we are. Acknowledge it. Lord, my heart is hard. Maybe I've been harboring bitterness. Maybe there's grief. Or maybe it's just dryness. But just say, Lord, would you take my heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh? So not just turning my mind to God, but taking my heart, Lord, come and work on my heart. We're not doing a faith that's based on shoulds of doing the right thing, but God wants our hearts. He wants a passionate faith towards him, a passionate response that says, yes, Lord, I receive your tender mercy and ask that you would fill me. You know, a heart that came to me earlier, a song that came to me earlier this morning is, this is my desire to honor you. Okay, I'm going to sing it. It happens once in a while. This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take and every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This morning, can we surrender our hearts to him? Lord, with all of my heart, I want to worship you. And would you come and change me? Change my heart so I can feel your heart, know your compassion and your mercy. So if our hearts are changed, and this is God's desire, he wants to change our hearts. He wants our hearts to be responsive to him and to feel emotion, real emotion, that moves us and compels us. So if our hearts are changed, then our hearts will not only be tender towards God, but also tender toward others. And our third point is, through us then, turn the hearts of others through us. First, just recognizing that God is more merciful than we can ever imagine. Then we ask God, turn our hearts toward you. And then we ask him, and now turn our hearts to others, or through us rather, turn the hearts of others. This is the word that was given about John the Baptist, that he would turn the hearts of others, fathers towards their children, and those that don't know him towards wisdom and righteousness, the disobedient to the wisdom and righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God works through us to prepare people around him, around us, to meet with him. Again, sometimes we feel like we have to be the ones, we've got to go out there and share the gospel, win people to Christ. And we want to do those things, but the truth is, we're preparing people to meet Jesus. If our hearts are changed, then his compassion will flow through us. And that's his desire, is that we become influencers in this world. But it isn't done through drudgery or saying, I've got to do this. It happens at the heart level. When our eyes are open to see who are the people around us. When our eyes are open to what's going on, not just here, but in the whole world. And that we are moved with compassion. You know, something that's very troubling in our nation right now, I've got to speak it out, is this aspect of turning our backs on the most needy people of the world and saying, we don't want you anymore. I don't want to get into politics, but our hearts need to be grieved for people who are suffering instead of just saying, how can we get richer and richer and richer? Are we seeing the people around us who are hurting and broken? And can we hear the call of God that we're called to go to them and do what we can to help? It says also in this passage that John the Baptist will go in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. We are called, friends, to go into this world in the spirit and the power of Elijah. There's another song I could sing now, but I will spare you. The same power is available to us that was given to John the Baptist, that was given through Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're moved with compassion, and if we step out in obedience, the power of the Holy Spirit will enable us to do the work of the Father. His mercy will flow through us, and we will see results. We'll be empowered to do more than just feel bad for someone. We'll be compelled to action. So another point is compassion compels us to action. And compassion then leads us to prayer. When we see the things in our world that we know we can't do much about, we can do a little, but there's limits. We are compelled to pray. And I'm so happy to be a part of a praying congregation. And as we go into the new year, we're going to have a special emphasis on prayer. So please prepare for that. And if you have ideas, we want to really turn to the Lord and be faithful in prayer. Can we make room for compassion? Make room for the tender mercy of God. Now, friends, again, this morning, the main thing that we need God's tender mercy in our hearts more than anything else. We're not going to be effective in this world unless our hearts are full of passion, unless we are a people who are moved because of the passion of God is within us, because we've been touched by how great is his tender mercy and how incredible it is that he has had mercy on sinners like us. May the Lord change our hearts. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Today we welcome the rising sun, that's Jesus, to rise in our lives. He has come to us from heaven and through us and in us to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And may he guide us to the path of peace. Let's pray. So Lord God, Lord, we cannot understand how great your mercy is, but Lord, we ask today, would you increase our understanding? Lord, I pray for those who are saying even right now, yeah, my heart's not right there. I'm not feeling that compassion of the Lord. I pray, Lord, you would touch their hearts now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we open our hearts to you and we pray, send your healing power. Heal the areas of hurt, Lord. Heal the areas of bitterness, Lord. Help us, Lord, where there's areas of unforgiveness. And Lord, we want to turn wholeheartedly to you.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, reveal your tender, your compassionate, your violent, your passionate compassion, Lord, your abounding love and compassion to us that knows no bounds. Lord, help us to know the freedom of forgiveness. Lord, that we are cleansed from all shame. That, Lord, we can approach you without fear. We ask, Lord, now, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Change our hearts, Lord, and show us your compassion for the world around us, Lord. Flow through us. Let the sun of righteousness rise in our hearts, Lord, and bring life and growth here at Mount Joy Mennonite Church, through us into our communities, Lord, and into this world, we pray. Let us be agents of healing. Rise in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.